Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? I hope well. We will start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, so much for such a great weekend and great services we had yesterday. That be with us and give me the ability to reflect on your words in a most enlightening way that that'll be what you want us to hear today, and help us through our day and everything that we do today. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Well, how is everyone doing today? I hope well. Today we're in part four of Peter's journey, and today is one of my favorite stories. It's called the Mount Transfiguration, and we know that it's only a few of the selected disciples that actually went up with Jesus. And even though I put down Matthew 17, 1 through 13, interesting note here that chapter divisions actually weren't something that the Holy Spirit decided on. It was actually done later on. I forget, it's like the mid, I think it was like 1600s or something that they added chapter divisions. This story actually begins in Matthew 16, 28, one verse before chapter 17. I'll start reading here. It's in all three versions, so I'll briefly go through each of the versions. I'll start off, I'll do it in two phases, the first phase being the actual incident, and then go on for the questions afterwards. So starting here, "Verily I say unto you, there'll be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And now in the 17:1, "And after 6 days, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," which is Elijah, "talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciple heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Always amazed me how many times he told them this, that he was going to be risen from the dead, and they were so surprised when it happened. But anyways, I'll go to Mark's, and unlike Matthew, Mark's actually starts in 9:2, but in 9:1 is that same saying that was prior to chapter 17. And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." I'm making note of this particular verse because I have a nice prophecy thing to do at the end. Okay, Mark 9:2. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. and his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Probably a white that we can't even imagine. That just make look our white look like it's dull. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and there were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make thee tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he was not what to say, for they were sore afraid. Oh, it seems like he was like, he wanted to say something, but he wasn't, so what he said really wasn't necessarily what maybe he really wanted to say. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about them, they saw no man anymore save Jesus, only with themselves. As they came down from the mountain, he charged them, and they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And then, same thing in Luke, which would be Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about 8 days after this sayings, interesting how there were 6 days before, but now this, he says 8 days. He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Luke's account is a little bit different. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Kind of interesting, too, that they recognized who Moses and Elias was. Or, I've heard other pastors say, I wonder if they had name tags on, like when you go to a conference. Who appeared in glory and spake of his decrees, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they awoke, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. I find it interesting that Luke's account was slightly different. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. So Luke's account slightly different, but pretty much the same. I found it interesting that neither Matthew or Mark seemed to pick up on the fact that they were sleeping prior to it, and that verse is a little bit curious. But now for the second part, which Luke didn't include at all, and I'll go back up to Matthew, where did I leave off? Seventeen ten. Now they're coming down, they're down off the mountain, and his disciples ask him, saying, When they say the scribes that Elias must first come, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whosoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spoke unto them of John the Baptist. And we there's quite a few commentaries that believe that there was an interesting backstory on that part of it. Is it I just heard it recently that some of the Jews believe that when Elias finally died, that his what was that thing they call it? that Elijah had given to Elias. Now I can't think of it, but the tradition says that they kept it, and the tabernacle, the thing that they burnt the incense in, and that once John the Baptist's father had possession of it and gave it to his son, which gave him the symbology of being the spirit of Elijah. So that's where the it's nothing in the Bible that actually says it except for this verse. So maybe they were basing that on tradition, but maybe it was actually a fact. Continuing on in Mark's account. See, we pick up at verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what see these things they seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept them saying with themselves, questioning one with another, what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, what say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught? But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. So pretty much Matthew and Mark are very similar, and Luke didn't elaborate on this particular portion, at least that I found. Now I want to address the what I got out of this area, which is kind of interesting. I was looking at Schofield, and they had an interesting aspect to what these verses meant. And let me get to my place here. You notice in Matthew 17:2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. I remember we mentioned that it's also in Mark 1, but it's also in Matthew 16:28, that Jesus a few days, like almost a week before, had said to them, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, I'm assuming here that he's talking to all 12 disciples, or maybe even more, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And I never realized this before, but that's what the whole transfiguration was about. And so I read these notes and from Schofield on this issue. And you see here in Matthew 17:2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And this is representing the Lord in his glory, what he'll look like when we see him someday, probably during the rapture. And that, in other words, when he is getting ready to move into his new role of being our king. And not just what he was during that. So that this little incident up on the hilltop mountain was to show these three disciples, which we all through history have seen that they were the closest. Andrew sometimes was with them, but this time he wasn't. But also in Matthew 13:43, we see, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now there's a few verses here. This one here, and then Luke 9:30 says, behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decrees which he should accomplish at Jerusalem, which again, it will be his crucifixion. And this is symbolic of Moses, glorified representative of the redeemed, who have passed through death into the kingdom. So this portion was to reflect reflect on Moses. This is where some people too get the impression that the two witnesses are going to be Moses and Elijah, based on this transfiguration. That's also indicated in Micah. I didn't grab that verse. I was going to do that as my prophecy, but I decided to go with this one. Then we got Elijah, who we know is also represented in his kingdom during when his kingdom is coming. And again, we're talking about the tribulation period here. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 and 51, we see, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And this is more or less what was represented along with 1 Thessalonians, the famous verses we all love to hear. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So the Elijah portion of this transfiguration is representative of us who are going to be redeemed. If you remember, Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. He was one of the ones, besides Enoch, that were the first symbology of the rapture. And so we have all three, we basically have all the elements here of the period before the rapture, and then, the rapture, and then the time of the tribulation. And then, of course, the Lord coming to gather his elect with us at the end of the tribulation. So so basically we saw that the Lord was shown in his glory, and Moses and Elijah in their roles during the tribulation, as I was indicated. The next aspect is Peter, James, and John were there, and they represent Israel in the flesh. In other words, the ones that are going to be going through the tribulation, more or less, but will be protected during that time. And over in Ezekiel, let me get there. Ezekiel 21-27, it says, "And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be any people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given that unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, as I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the passage that basically indicates that at the end of the tribulation, when we come back with Jesus, we will be like... Very interesting, the aspect that what we are going to be like during that period. But the Jewish people are actually going to be they're going to have the rebuilt temple. If you read the end of Ezekiel, it describes the temple. And Jesus is going to be in charge of the whole world. But at least in the area of Israel, there's going to be the temple reset up. And the Jewish people are going to, by these verses, are going to be the maintaining and running the temple. Under their original King David. I find that all kind of interesting. This is all prophecy, which the transfiguration was kind of a model of. So there's one more aspect to mention about, you notice back in Matthew 17:2, it also indicated, I'll go back to it, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as light. That's 17:2. Gotta find the verse. Anyway, down at the bottom of the mountain, remember the John, it was only John, Peter, and James that went up the mountain. Everyone else was still down at the bottom of the mountain. And they represent the those that will be like us, will come into the kingdom from... In other words, ones that survived the tribulation, besides the Israelites that survived the tribulation, they'll be the people who survive the tribulation and actually make it into the millennium kingdom, but they're not of the church like we are. They'll be just regular people, and they'll still have to go through the process of accepting the Lord and becoming saved. Just like those who were born during the millennium. So in Isaiah 11, 10 through 12 is where this is described. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of the people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And it shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judea and the four corners of the earth. So again, this is the people that actually managed, and it won't be a lot, but managed to survive the tribulation. So basically those are the three. So this whole transfiguration is a representation of the what would be basically the us leaving like Elijah. And then Moses, who is the is representative of those that pass through death into the kingdom. That was the saints of old, the people from Jesus' time and before, that actually were saved based on their righteousness. like from all the way from Adam and Eve all the way up till Jesus' time. And then the Lord himself, who will come in his glory, and Peter, James, and John will be those that were saved during the period of time that Jesus was here on earth, and then the multitude at the bottom of the mountain that will survive the tribulation. So I thought it was kind of interesting. I'd never really thought about it that way before, and something to think about, that the whole transfiguration is actually a forerunner of the book of Revelation, and parts of Ezekiel and Isaiah. So I found that kind of interesting. I hope that my explanation had some sense to it. Let's see, I had one picture to show you. They think that Mount Tabor is the mountain that this happened on. And this is what it looks like now from a distance. I think that's the only. And if you look on this map, see a Sea of Galilee. If you come down to the south and over to the west just a little bit, you see Mount Tabor. So you can see about where it's at. Now, I've also heard that it might have been Mount Moriah, but from what I understand, I just recently I heard that Mount Moriah actually was occupied during Jesus' time frame. So most likely it wasn't that one, because there were people up there, and I don't think Jesus would have done this with people watching. So that's all for today. And with prayer, oh, thank you, Lord, so much for this word, and for the just the insight you give us and all the things. It's amazing, Lord, that everything about the Bible points at the ultimate culmination of your kingdom coming to earth again. I know myself, I look forward to it so much. And thank you, Lord, so much for these words and for all that you do. Keep us safe today, and give us a blessing today, and that all will be healthy, and that everyone will be kept safe. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.